Welcome to Clarity in Real Time, where we explore how to access, sustain, and leverage inner clarity to build and scale businesses truly aligned with our values and goals. I'm your host, Dane Ellen Archer. Well, hello. I'm here today with Rachel Alter. She is a baker, entrepreneur, and newly a mother of Lillian. And we're having a conversation today about dual roles, how in entrepreneurship you can be in the throes of all the things that are, and you're also these other things.
Yes.
So what are these other things, Rachel?
Well, I think what I will first say is that as an entrepreneur, a couple years ago, when I was really diving deeply into what it means to be a business owner, what it means to have a dream, a vision, something that takes a lot of work, and maybe feels like it takes some proving to investors, to the community, to people who are wanting to buy in, how can I show that I am all in on this project if I'm not eating, breathing, sleeping, / not sleeping, all things that project? It just came forward that that is not healthy, nor is it a way that I want to live. I guess the universe threw that track for a loop as I became a mother and really required me to exist in two roles.
So when you were doing, I'll name it as the kitchen project.
Yes.
Which is a, I guess, kitchen space, communal kitchen space in Mountain Town in Colorado. So you were working to not only find a location for that, but also the funding and doing all the things full on. And I think you were even in an accelerator program at that point.
Correct.
So you were full on in it.
Yes. I was full-time entrepreneuring and that was hard to show up for myself as a friend to myself, as a friend to others, hard to show up as a partner in my loving relationship. I'm sure that my role as a daughter suffered as I called my mom crying and wanting advice and compassion. And yeah, so it really did take over. That role of entrepreneurship for me for a little while did take over my identity.
So you became this role in such a way to achieve what were your goals, I assume, that you
yeah.
really wanted. You were clear that you wanted this to happen. And then the universe in some way threw you a curveball and gave you a role, a dual role that you couldn't ignore.
Exactly.
And how's that going?
Wow. Well, I will say that my role as an entrepreneur is on the back burner because new motherhood, mothering an infant is, if I thought entrepreneurship was full-time, right? And a mother to an infant is definitely full-time plus. But I think it has really been a gift to find that balance, to find my identity as an entrepreneur and as a mother, two things that really do seem to take 100%. But somehow they're coexisting, right? And I have not cloned myself.
So the original bandwidth is the same.
Yeah.
Yet somehow they're fitting in. And it seems like entrepreneurship has taken a bit of a back burner, but it doesn't sound like it's gone away.
That is accurate. It has not gone away.
So how are you finding this new balance? Like, what is showing up that's different from your previous way of doing it full-on 100% to the detriment of all other relationships in your life, it sounds like?
Yeah, that's accurate too. I think that I am just looking at things with a broader perspective. I mean, we have that term nose to the grindstone, and it's interesting because the visual I have of that is someone with their face down looking at one point and having a really hard time seeing anything else on the horizon. So as the needs of my child come forward and the needs of my business still exist, I have to look up from that proverbial grindstone and say, okay, where does this fit in? There are this many hours in the day. I know I have this much energy. Okay, it's like there's an allowance for, and also a requirement of more planning, but it really, things feel smoother, in fact. I might be getting less accomplished as far as my business is going. That's, you know, a smaller piece of my pie right now. But I think that I'm doing that piece of the pie with more efficiency because I'm looking at the broader picture, looking at that whole pie. I love that I'm using a pie reference as a baker. It's very appropriate.
For those that don't know Rachel, she also runs Petals and Pastries, which is a local deliciousness that we love in this small town in Gunnison, Colorado.
Thank you.
And just delicious, healthy food that she produces and caters for and that sort of thing. So it seems like you have the kitchen project, which is one chunk of your bandwidth, of your pie, so to speak. And then there is Petals and Pastries. And then we also have this new piece of motherhood. And it seems like you've also expanded your bandwidth to now, in this Zoom out, have space for relationships as well.
Yeah, I mean, I love that you and I, Dee, spend time together and make time for this podcast interview. It doesn't feel like jamming an extra piece into the pie. It feels graceful because I just know from that broader perspective, just knowing that there is room for everything that I allow in is really all that it takes. Like, there is time and space for it and energy for it.
You seem more settled to me, even with this new bandwidth awareness or the zoom out from the grindstone. Like, if before you were focused on the details and all the things that had to happen in a day, you seem more settled to me now. Is that true for you?
I think I'm more okay with whatever ends up being at the end of the day. Maybe that's what feels like settled. It's like a less frenetic energy, a less, just I'm really okay. I have a lot more self-forgiveness for things that need to be put on tomorrow's to-do list because there are just so many wild cards. And with entrepreneurship, at least my experience with entrepreneurship, there are many, many wild cards, many, many unknowns, very, very long to-do lists. But for me, there was less self-forgiveness if things weren't accomplished. It seemed like it was all on me. And if I didn't accomplish X, Y, and Z on the list today, that was me failing. And maybe it's easy to blame an infant for such things, but I really just feel so much more flexible and forgiving of what does end up getting accomplished. And I mean, I think that, I can't remember who you were quoting, Dee, about if the baby is fed and mom is also fed, everything else is a bonus. So maybe I'm operating a little bit through that lens, but it is amazing how much I do get accomplished.
I think I'm having an idea where some of your extra energy is coming from.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's just a total guess, so let me know if it fits or not.
Let's see.
But it seems like if so much energy was going to almost like a self-abuse of self-judgment, right? Like, oh, you didn't get, you know, those 100 things on the list done today, so of course you failed because you only did 98 of them,
right?
And it seems like that takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of energy to sit there and do the self-flagellation.
That really resonates so much so that I have a little bit of a chill. Yeah, I think that that's totally accurate. That self-forgiveness, that flexibility, that cutting myself some slack. I think regardless of whether or not there's an infant to blame, that can be really useful because you're right. It is a lot of energy to count the things that didn't get done where you can be counting the things that did get done.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, and what I've observed is you're actually accomplishing more than you were before in the frenetic state.
Yeah, like in the worry.
Yeah, it seems like in this relaxed, kind of flexible state that you've come into, at least from an outside observer, it almost seems like you're manifesting more of what you want. I've watched you get orders in when you didn't really do anything to have them come in. Like, your outbound marketing obviously has taken a little bit of a pause.
Mm-hmm.
You've only been a mom for 2.5 months now.
Yeah.
So, yet you're still getting orders in, and it seems like the timing of them is perfect. And I don't know where the kitchen project is, but I know that there's things perking up that are sort of flowing in as far as funding and that sort of thing that are less forced.
Yes, less forced. That could be a whole nother interview, I think, just about what it's like to feel grace and ease with things. And sometimes as entrepreneurs, like, we're encouraged, right, to have a really clear vision of our business plan and a really clear vision of the outcome. And that can be useful, but rigidness around that, yeah, can be detrimental. And that grace and ease and knowing that things will come in their own time and that even that clear vision that I have may be limiting the actual possibilities of the greatness that is possible.
Yeah, that really stands out to me. I feel like there's a lot of value in setting goals and even reverse engineering, like how the income's going to come in, how many customers does that look like, what exactly does that all entail, you know, do your 50 calls and, you know, turn over X percent and close those deals. I get the value in that for myself. And I seem to have had more success and enjoyed things more and then magneted towards myself, at least, more of the kind of clients I like to work with and the projects that really make me alive when I've created space around that as well. Like the flexibilities and the how it's going to show up. I'm still clear moment to moment if something is a yes or a no for me or maybe later, right? Or something like that. Like using clarity as a guidance that way in the moment. But having everything be rigid, that really resonates with me as almost like I'm so focused on the one door, I don't see all the other 100 infinite possibilities of open doors that universe and business and network and other thing are trying to deliver to me as opportunities.
Exactly.
So where are you going to go, do you think, in this new space? This seems like a lot of opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I'm reminded of the importance of having those kind of guideposts, just whatever that feels like for each individual, right? Like, again, that grace and ease is the way that I term it, but just that clarity, those signs that like, yes, 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 no, and but there's yes over there. So just finding, again, what that feels like, what the clarity to feel those yeses and also to feel those nos. And in this space, in this more expansive space that I'm finding myself in with more to do and more roles, but somehow there seems more space around it too, just the importance of also being attuned to those signposts that come in along the way.
Yeah, I noticed as you spoke, it was almost like you were, your eyes cast down, and it was almost like you were talking to yourself, kind of like laying it out. And then when you said signposts, your eyes came up, and there was this little smile. What's a signpost to you?
Oh, well, I have to say I am better at identifying the no's than the yeses. Whether, I don't know what that means, what's coming in forward, is that it's easy to second guess the yeses, right? It's like, well, maybe, who knows? But the no's are much more clear. So things that just feel draining, things that feel unreasonably hard or rigid or feel like bashing my head against the wall for little or no return, those are the clear no's. That's when I know I need to course correct and look down a different avenue for that yes, for that flow state that we talk about.
Yeah, so to me, I imagine that would look like you had an opportunity for, say, like a location for the kitchen project where something would feel just off or hard or difficult, not challenging. It seems like challenging and
sure, yeah,
and difficult are different for you.
Yeah, challenge, I'm all for a challenge and I expect things to be challenging. But even, I mean, I can't think of any great examples, but say I was trying to check out that location with a realtor and the realtor and I just couldn't connect, or I showed up at 11 and it turns out the appointment actually was at 12, and things like that just kept happening. For me, those are like, you know what, this just isn't, something is preventing me from even going down this path, and I'm just going to listen.
So it almost seems like there's a buildup of these things. It's not just a single thing.
Oh, yeah. When it's a single thing and I call it a no, there's some other kind of internal resistance going on.
That's more like an inner critic or yeah, something like that totally. Happening. But okay, so it seems like what I'm getting is there's a buildup of these signposts where things feel rigid or inflexible, or it's almost like just difficulties that aren't necessarily like engaging challenges. And they're not just a one-off where you're just self-sabotaging in some way.
Totally. But I will also say that there's an internal feeling. There's like the difference between worry and intuition for me is like where it is in my body. Like worry is like, oh my gosh, no. And that frenetic chatter comes back. Whereas intuition is just like, no.
So you use different hand signs there. Like frenetic was like you were moving your hands around at your head. And like I imagine it was more of like a thinking anxiety feel.
Yes.
Like kind of an up energy.
Uh-huh.
And then when you said no intuitively, it was like you went straight to your heart center.
And it's just, it just drops in as a clear no rather than a what if.
They seem very different for
yes.
you.
Yes. They are. And again, that goes right back to what we were just talking about, the importance of having that clarity, of having those touchstones of what it feels like to be in a flow state, what it feels like to listen to that intuition, what it feels like to have that capital K knowing. When I have touchstones, when I have anecdotal evidence in my own life of what that feels like, little examples, it's much more easy to touch into it and to feel it more consistently.
So you would almost use something like from your personal life as a touchstone in some ways, because the feeling is the same. Then in business, you can use it as a reference point.
Yes.
Like, oh, when I feel this drop in intuitive into my gut, heart center, yes or no, it's the same feeling in your personal, your relationships, either of your businesses, or in whatever else it is you're engaged in, motherhood. You have yeah. the same feeling, so you can then trust it across all of those different now channels that you have yes. in your life, these different roles.
Yeah, I love how you expanded that. That's totally accurate. Yes. Mm.
Rachel, as always, I would love to talk to you for hours, but I have a value on keeping these conversations into soundbite form because we're all, in my world, busy.
Yes.
And I want to make sure that we stick to the time container. So I do have a final question if you're open to it.
Sure.
What if from this conversation, anything stood out to you that you would want a listener to take from this? Like what would be something for them and why would you choose that?
The thing that stands out about this conversation to me is the tremendous value in gaining perspective, in rising up above all of the roles that we have. And all of the sensations and all the information that's coming in, rising above it to be able to be discerning, be able to guide our energy efficiently, knowing that there is time and space and room for everything to coexist when we have that broader perspective. Just elevating that perspective, knowing that there's space for everything, and being discerning as we move forward with mindful decisions.
That feels like relief in my system, like space. I can feel my shoulders drop with that. Thank
Excellent.
You.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us today. I'm Danella Narker, and it is my belief that people leading lives and businesses clearly aligned with their values and goals is a level up for all of us. Learn more about how to apply clarity practices in your life at danella.com. This has been Clarity in Real Time. See you next episode.